All right, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for our Wednesday afternoon podcast. And our article today is Faith and Work by Chris Cagle, and the title is Why Christians Should Never Retire. So, Brian, go ahead and lead us off.
All right. From February 16th of this year, Christians may be free to retire from their occupation, but as disciples of Christ, we aren't ever free to retire from serving God and others. If we're fortunate enough to be freed from the demands of working for a living, that opens a door of opportunity to do more work for the kingdom using the wisdom, experience, talents, and resources the Holy Spirit has given us through a lifetime of discipleship. If this sounds like retire but don't retire, that sums it up well. Retire or don't from your job or career. But if you do retire, then imagine and plan for a retirement that is different than the world envisions. What reimagined retirement looks like. In my book, Reimagine Retirement, Planning and Living for the Glory of God, I look at the biblical and historical perspective on retirement, and then describe what a Christian reimagined retirement might look like. I describe it this way. A reimagined retirement is one that is planned, structured, and lived, continually reexamined in light of sound biblical doctrine, principles, and practice. It is a retirement lived for the glory of God, His kingdom, and the good of His people. Retirement may mean a new season of life, but it doesn't mean that we should stop growing and investing our time, talents, and treasure in God's kingdom-building work. All of our personal and material gifts, whether we have much or little, are good gifts from God that can be used in retirement for our joy, others' good, and God's glory. All of us have been given gifts in various measures from God in the form of skills, talents, resources, and abilities. Here are four kinds of stewardship. Number one, stewardship of time, serving, and mentoring. One of the greatest dangers of retirement is withdrawal from the mainstream of life and decreased involvement with others. It's vitally important for the Christian retiree to stay involved and to keep family, church, and community relationships alive. In these contexts, serving, discipling, mentoring, and personal ministry can take place. Older Christians are called to disciple, mentor, and teach. They share biblical knowledge and godly wisdom acquired through experience, especially with those who are younger. There's much that older Christians can contribute by being an excellent example of godly character.
Oh, man. I guess I should have started the podcast then, since I'm older than you, Brian.
That's okay. You can chime in now.
I missed my opportunity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then I agree with what he said. To me, the struggle that I have seen in church is how do you do that practically? You know, we say older Christians are disciple, mentor, and teach. But how do you put that into practice?
I mean, this is my first glance at the article, but I almost kind of envision that the retirement reimagined concept that he's articulating is, I no longer work 9 to 5, or I no longer, you know, do whatever it was that my livelihood or my career was. But that doesn't mean I've completely checked out of the church. And now, hey, 6 months of the year, I'm going to be gone traveling. And, okay, you'll still get we'll still get my direct deposit for tithe, or maybe you'll still send in checks or whatever the case is. But, hey, we probably won't physically be in the building for 6 months.
No, I get that. But then we say the older women are to teach the younger, the older men are to teach the younger men, the older women, the younger ladies, and all of that. But I don't see, you know, it's like it's a good preaching point, but you don't see that happening.
Yeah, and I struggle with this because I want this to happen. So here's just something. One of the things I do here at Berean a lot is I solder things. I repair things. I get a circuit board, and something's defective on it, rather than buy a new one, we can take it off, put the part on, get it fixed for a lot less. I would love to show some other people, some young men, women, how to do this so that they could have a skill and some other things that we've learned. But one of the difficult things is I'm here to do that during the day, and sometimes they're working jobs,
right,
or they're in school, and a lot of the hours during the day I'm actually in the classroom, and the one thing that's limiting about being in the classroom is you got to be in the classroom and be engaged. You can't, you know, I can't be soldering something while I'm teaching teaching the class. So you got to buy all these. So, and one of the things is finding people, getting word to the people who would be willing to help you. And then once you even find somebody who's trying to get with a schedule, well, I can come this time, but I can't come this time. And it is, by the time you do all that, I could have just soldered the thing myself.
Right.
And I know that's something that I need to work on, but that's just an example of how difficult sometimes it can be to get together to make this really work in the real world.
Right. And you know, like I know with Pastor, you know, with his lawn care, just, you know, he's mentoring the young men, but again, it's scheduled, you know.
Yeah.
You show up at 6 o'clock Saturday morning and, you know, we're going to work for 12 hours. And, you know, I'm going to teach you how to work. I'm going to teach you how to do these things. And that works, and it works very well. But, you know, what I have seen as a struggle the last 30 years is, you know, here's a 65-year-old guy that has just retired from whatever occupation it is, and to say, you know, hey, I want you to start mentoring a group of young men. Well, sometimes they don't, you know, they don't know what that means, and they don't know how to do that, and trying to get a group of young guys that actually want to be mentored, you know, by him.
There are two things that come to mind. I better go ahead and let Nate talk.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, with what Jonathan had said, it seems like he's pointing at the very beginning that this might be a different season of life that what you're in currently, because you're saying with teaching at the academy, and then you have this with work, and then you're here at the church doing the music, and then you got, and it seems like, well, when you do retire, or you're free to retire, you're still, the very opening statement says, but as disciples of Christ, we aren't ever free to retire from serving God and others. And so it almost appears like he's hinting toward, hey, when you hit that retirement mark, now's the time where you could use your skills to better manage your time to implement that in someone else's life.
Right, and I think the struggle is finding people that want to learn stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I mean, I love to do home improvement stuff. I enjoy some of it, not all of it. But, you know, I've thought, you know, if the time comes where I don't have to work, you know, 40 hours a week, it'd be really cool to, you know, work part-time, at the church, and then, you know, maybe have a ministry where you can help shut-ins or elderly doing home repairs, and just, you're doing it for free or for a very minimal amount just to help them.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, just kind of incorporate that in as a ministry, or bring alongside people that are like, you know, hey, I'd really like to learn how to do this, and take them with you and teach them some of these things.
Yeah. Those are the two things that came into my mind. One of them is it has to be somewhat organic, because if you are striving to either institute some sort of program or policy of, you know, if you want to sign up for our mentoring program, then, you know, reply to this email. If you want to go and do something like that, you're going to have difficulty at actually having relationships occur, because most relationships don't happen inorganically. And what I mean by that is you're going to have common interest. If I have no desire in learning how to spackle a wall, then I'm going to have no interest in helping you.
Right.
And that's one of the things as far as relationships go. I mean, you and I work well together because we're both interested in the same kind of thing. And then Jonathan and I, on the same note, we're both interested in sound equipment. And so, you know, looking back on my life, there were things I was interested in that I pursued someone to teach me how to do those things, whether it's because I wanted to feel involved, or I wanted to be included, or I wanted an excuse, you know, hey, Dad, can you pull me out of school today because they're having a work day at church to fix this? You know, selfish motivation. But looking back on my life, there were men that weren't my dad, they weren't my grandpa, but they were older men in the church that mentored, at least at physical, real life tangible skills and things like that, that I learned how to do from the church. And in the process, there was spiritual conversation that was going on while we were fixing a roof, while we were working on the sound booth, while we were, you know, replumbing a bathroom or whatever the case might have been. So there's got to be an organic sense of relationship, and there also has to be a desire that you're not forcing it, and then also you actually have to be interested, which, you know, we kind of want to ask, you know, the listener, if if you're on the mentored end of this, are you actually pursuing mentoring relationships? You know, in any given field, if you're not looking to someone who has already been where you are and say, okay, I want your position. How do I get there? If you're not looking for that, well, then what's the point? If you're content with the status quo, well, then you shouldn't be surprised when you keep the status quo.
All right, number two.
Stewardship of talents, calling and vocation. Many imagine retirement as a time to finally do whatever they want, subject to physical and financial limitations. They envision endless hours of rest, relaxation, and recreation with few responsibilities or obligations of any kind. This is inconsistent with the Bible's God-glorifying vision of work. The Bible teaches the intrinsic value and dignity of work, and that doesn't apply only to work for pay. We find joy and fulfillment by working in the vocations to which we are called, and it enriches others' lives. Without work, that's both fulfilling and contributes to others' good, our lives in retirement will lack the meaning and purpose work provides. Anyone want to comment?
I would agree with them. I mean, I find it somewhat, I don't know, sad, or I just as I look at so many folks that, you know, reach 65, 70 and retire, and then it's, you know, they have a tendency not to be engaged. And, you know, they follow they just want to rest, relax, and, you know, have recreation. And, you know, maybe, I don't know how healthy that is.
They could come down here with a clipboard and go walk around the church and tell you everything that's wrong.
Well,
broken.
Or, you know, and I preached a few Wednesday nights ago, and I said, you know, hey, you have 4 hours a month to come replace, you know, air filters. You know, because we have like 40 air filters that, you know, we replace every month.
I was joking because we've had the opposite. We've had the opposite with that retired guy that gets real involved.
But again,
could you go to some? Yes.
But even in that, you know, if you have the right attitude and you're willing to not just point fault out and say, okay,
I'll fix things. Yeah.
Right. You know, hey, I just found 20 things. You know, I'd like to take care of them. Sure, go for it. You know, and have, you know, that would be great. But, you know, we tend to have the opposite where it's, you know, I put my time in, I've done, you know, I was a deacon for 30 years and I'm, you know, it's like all of a sudden you reach a point where you wash your hands and I'm done and somebody else can do.
Once they hit a certain point, their passion, their desire to serve is almost retired as well. And I guess some people might not like me mentioning Francis Chan, but one of his messages that stand out that I listened to years and years ago was him challenging the elderly in his church back when he was in California that you're getting closer and closer to heaven. Like, and he was basically saying, in all respect, you should be the most passionate because most of you, in all reasonable logic, are going to see Jesus before some of others. So why are you the ones not serving now, and you were faithful for 20, 30 years, and then now you want to just
And
relax?
You know, I've had the privilege, and I think our church is a little bit like that, but I've actually had the privilege of going and seeing some other churches that are even more over the top. If you walk into an assembly where the elderly are the ones leading the worship, and the elderly are the ones excited about what's going on in the church, and they're telling you about the youth ministry, and the elderly people are telling you about what's going on in the church, there's like a spark, there's like a dynamic, and it's just, it's contagious. It's different than when you go in and it's like, you can see this is like the young versus the old, you know.
Right. And you expect the young people to have the energy and the vitality.
This is a tug of war going on right here. And it's just so refreshing when you see a ministry, and perhaps he got his ministry to be there, I don't know. But when you see that, like, I just love it when older folks are coming up and they're asking me, what was that name of that last song we just sang? Where can I find that and listen to on this week on YouTube? Because it tells me, not that I'm trying to move them to my kind of music, but it tells me they're engaged.
Yeah.
They're not just checked out. And that's just really awesome when you see that positively going down in a church.
Well, and one of the things, and I'd like to go on record of saying this, is we're not, none of us in the room are bashing relaxation or rest. There is absolutely something that could be God-glorifying about a 70-year-old man who has retired going golfing and taking a younger man who right. needs a good example. Hey, you know what? Go spend 4 hours on the golf course. But make it meaningful while you're there.
Right, or like I think we have a gentleman in our church that loves to play golf, and he volunteers to come head our golf team at the academy. He doesn't, I don't think he gets paid for it. If he does, it's just a minor stipend.
Not enough for his time.
Right, but you know, he just wants to teach younger teenagers how to play golf.
Yeah. And I also
and you know, and we struggle with that. You know, we could use others to volunteer to come and, you know, coach soccer or basketball or other sports that somebody might have played really, really well, you know, as a teen in college and, you know, on up. But, you know, it just takes time.
It doesn't stop there. I mean, you already mentioned, you know, something like air filters. Okay, there are, you know.
Or change the oil in the church vehicles every 3 months.
And we've been blessed with an individual in our ministry recently that has on more than one occasion offered his assistance to me to help out with vehicles.
Right.
Whether that be just being, you know, a pilot car, or whether that actually being, you know, doing some minor mechanical work, you know, and those are specialty talents. All right, we also have to keep in mind that we have in our ministry, at least, we've got an 85-year-old cleaning lady. And she will work circles around just about anybody. Might complain the whole time, but
she gets it done.
She gets it done. And so, you know, we have, okay, anyone could volunteer their time and come in, hey, let me vacuum a room for you this weekend.
Yep.
Hey, let me dust the pews. Let me, you know, take care of resupplying the bathrooms or something like that. So there are, I mean, mindless tasks where you can serve the ministry, and we would, you know, I think we would be wrong if we didn't address actual ministry involvement at this point either. Because I know for a fact our nursery struggles with, we have this dynamic of, you know, of ladies and even their husbands that our kids are grown. We're now, you know, just on that verge of, you know, grandparents, or, you know, our kids have aged out of nursery. And so it's like, I'm done. And it's like, actually, no, that's when you should be spending your time. Okay, now let me go in and help a young mom. I've got it figured out. My kids are grown, so maybe I should be helping. And, you know, I know with nursery we usually think of women, but husbands can work right next to their wives in the nursery.
Right.
Part number 3, stewardship of treasure, stewardship and generosity. We shouldn't retire, stop working for pay, unless we can provide for our families and continue to be generous towards others. We must be careful not to retire from a paying job too soon. We have a responsibility to our families and others to be responsibly confident we can afford to retire before we pull the trigger. Due to increasing longevity, inflation, healthcare costs, and other concerns, there are serious doubts about our ability to fund several decades in retirement, and rightly so. Many surveys and studies have reached the same conclusion. Many people don't have enough money saved to support a prolonged period of not working for income. Although Social Security and a pension may be sufficient for some, most won't be that fortunate.
That's more just pragmatic, more than spiritual aspect.
And to be honest, frankly, I think in our society, other than what we see on TV when you see Charles Schwab commercials and other things, most of the people in our setting are going to fall into that category rather than the ones like, well, I'm going jet setting once I retire, you know. Right. I'm going to buy a house in the Caymans and all this stuff. It's just, that's really not our reality. I think that most reality is probably, I'm going to have to work longer or until I'm older because I'm not prepared.
Retire from one occupation and do something part-time just to supplement my Social Security and just, you know, maintain my standard of living.
And the one caveat to that is, around here, we do have a lot of folks that retire from the military while they're still quite young, but a lot of those go back to work.
They're not looking to retire and check out. It's,
right.
Let me stop jumping out of airplanes. Let me stop deploying.
Right.
You know.
They're 20 years, but they're still actually go do a lot of contract work and stuff still. So it's just kind of a little bit semantics, but I think that, you know, point well taken, especially for young people, you know, prepare yourself so that, you know, you can be generous in your old age, mm-hmm. and you can be generous with your time and your money in your old age.
Right. Yep. And we have several folks in the church that are like that. You know, they're always, you know, camp, and, you know, I want to mm-hmm. sponsor kids to go to camp. I want to yep. sponsor somebody for the men's retreat. I want to help with, you know, this scholarship or that one. And they have been wise with their money, and, you know, they're at that point where they can be a blessing and really help in a lot of needs.
Yep. Number four, stewardship of testimony, character, and perseverance. We may eventually retire from our job or career, but we never retire from being a disciple of Christ. We abide in Him so that our lives continue to bear fruit. The biblical pattern for the older Christian is to continue maturing as a faithful follower of Jesus, active church member, and good husband or wife, father or mother, grandparent or friend. Faithfulness comes through continued exercise of the spiritual disciplines, devotions, fellowship, reading, prayer, and listening to preaching and teaching of God's Word and diligently applying it to our lives. It also means humbly receiving honest and loving input from those God brings into our lives. God's good gifts. Some of God's good gifts to us are for others' good, but He also gives them for our enjoyment. One of His greatest gifts is His creation, which we can enjoy in a myriad of ways. If God has given you the ability to travel, go to school, eat out, or go to a movie or a music concert once in a while, enjoy those things with a clear conscience and give Him thanks. Yes, He has given us more than we need, but that's just a reminder of the God who loves us, saved us, and who freely gives gifts according to His sovereign grace. Yes, we've received many good gifts, but the greatest of all is knowing Jesus is Lord. We've been bought with a price, the death of God's only Son, and because we belong to Him, our chief purpose in life and retirement is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Borrowing from John Piper's language in Don't Waste Your Life, God created us to live with a single passion, to joyfully display His supreme excellence in all the spheres of this life. The opposite of wasting your life is living life by a single, God-exalting, soul-satisfying passion. The Bible exhorts us to pursue, enjoy, and glorify God throughout our lives, including when we're retired.
Paul's phrasing of to live as Christ and to die as gain.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my encouragement here is, you know, not to... You know, those that, you know, teach the Bible or those that have the ability to teach, to continue doing that. I know just, you know, I could probably name a half a dozen people right off the top of my head that, you know, were either pastors or Sunday school teachers and, you know, taught for 20, 30 years. And now, you know, they don't want to teach. They don't want to do anything. They don't even want to fill in for a Sunday school class, you know, periodically. And it's just, I don't know. To me, it's kind of sad that, you know, someone that knows the Bible as well as they do, you know, they've preached it and taught it, you know, their whole lives, and now all of a sudden it's, well, you know, now I'm such a, you know, I'm an, you know, I just don't do that anymore. You know, I'm just going to sit and soak and hear somebody else.
Yeah, and I wonder why they could do that because, I'll give you a theory, okay? My theory is, it relates to point number one in this article, and that is the idea that I get to now do what I want to do because all these years I've had to do something else for money. And so perhaps those that have taught for 20 years didn't really do it out of the passion or the love for it. Maybe they did it more out of a duty or obligation because I'm going to tell you, I grew up in a singing family, sing around the piano kind of family, and when we get together, we love to do this. It's, as Brian says, organic. It just pops up, we just start doing it, and then for hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, we just sing and sing and sing, and nobody hates it, everybody loves it, and I just can't imagine that we will ever stop doing this as a family because it's embedded into our fabric, it's who we are, and it's just something that builds this family camaraderie, and we're not trying to get it just right, and we're not performing. We're just singing because we love to sing, and we love the songs, the words of the songs. Being believers and Christians, we love those really great, deep songs. And, you know, we say, hey, did you hear this one? Yeah. And this, and the next, and the next, and the next. And I just can't ever, I mean, my dad is still doing that with us at his age. I play in a Monday night band, and there's this huge mirror in the front of the rehearsal hall. And I look back there, and I see my dad playing his trombone, and I'm sitting up here in the front, and he's sitting in the back, and he's getting older, and he's looking older. He's got white hair, still playing, and he's sawing that trombone as fast as he can. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to do that till the day he dies, because it's a passion, and it's something he loves. And so I think that the message there is, you know, even as a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, get a passion and do things for the church. Don't say, well, I'll do that when I get more time, when I'm not doing all the things that I have to do because I have to do it for pay. Right. Find a way to make it work now, or else it won't be a passion when you're older.
And I know what Pastor Sean says all the time, you know, even whenever he steps down from pastoring a church, you know, he said, you know, he's like, I could never imagine not teaching a Sunday school class or mm-hmm. not somehow sharing God's word.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I'll do that to the day I die.
Right.
You know, because like, it's that passion, it's inside. It's like, just, I have to do this.
Well, yeah.
You know, and whether you pay me or don't pay me, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go to another church, I'm just like, hoping they come up and tell me, you know, our piano player's sick or something. Because I just can't stand just not doing something.
Yeah. But, all right, well, what do you think? Are we off base, or what are your thoughts? Post a comment or share with us. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.